Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get right into it, not waste any time.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
It's been too long, man. We're just too long.
Yeah.
First time ever, I think, since the beginning of the podcast that I missed a full week.
Really?
Or that a show didn't happen during a week.
Well, not the first time ever. I can remember a little situation in October. What was it, 2015?
What happened? Personal situation?
No. Remember the whole Grantland?
Oh, we didn't do one that week?
We didn't do one that week.
Oh, the Grantland implosion?
Yes.
Now, I want to play this by special request. So a lot of people said they missed this last week, so to all the people who missed it.
If you actually think I was just the right guy at the right place, at the right time, let me say it one more time so you completely understand, McMahon. If you actually believe in your mind, if you actually think that I was just the right guy at the right...
So anyways, I missed everyone last week, and it was annoying. It just, the week got away from me. We did bring it to the table. It was just a lot. So I'll start out of the gate by apologizing that happened. I'll also say, so funny. Bring It to the Table got more heat, no pun intended,
yeah,
than probably any episode I've done so far in terms of just reading general, like, hate for it. And from the people I talk to who know me or who worked in the company, it got more love than any episode so far. Where did you stand on this deck, Greg? Be honest. You can tell me whatever you want. I will not be offended.
I really enjoyed the episode. I loved it. I loved the open. I felt like you guys have some good chemistry going.
You were not offended by the open, which kind of made fun of the controversy.
No, I was not offended by the open. And I was not offended
by... Hey, you're a Rosenberg shill.
I was not offended. Not at all. I was not offended by the... I'm a Rosenberg mark, but I was not offended by ISIS comment either, that he would rather be captured by ISIS than
that was listen, people, at this point now we're gonna have to operate in this world where everyone is just waiting at all times for JBL. Like that's gonna be what the new reality is that, and it's annoying too because it changes. Like there are probably legitimate things to be annoyed with about JBL. There's everyone
like,
has things.
For example,
oh, here you go, give me one.
When he said that the audience at home really enjoyed the House of Horrors match.
There you go.
And I was at home and I did not enjoy the House of Horrors match.
See, exactly.
But I understand why he said that, though. Most people will think that it's because he's a company man and he is going to protect the WWE at all costs. And I have a different theory. I think.
What's your theory?
I think he's just blocked so many critics and quote-unquote haters that all he sees is the good comments on social media. So when he looks at his social media, everybody loves everything.
Because he doesn't even know what's actually happening anymore.
Yeah, he just blocked everybody to the point where he's out of the bubble.
And you may be right about that. But I just feel it's annoying because everyone has a right to dislike him. But let's not like search through everything. There was some funny stuff. So, so first of all, totally get why people thought there would maybe be more of a comment on the issue. And I do think at some point there will be. But I don't think right now it can be done.
Right.
I mean, I pushed for it to be done. You know, I wanted to tackle it head on, but I'm sure at some point we'll get there. But beyond that, it's like, you know, there's not always going to be a time going where there's tons of controversy. And right now there isn't necessarily a ton of stuff that's controversial, but I just thought the show was the funniest it's been. And like people, I don't know, I guess people aren't looking for it for that. They're looking to it to be like straight up PTI every day. What's the issue we're fighting about? Whereas, of course, me being a normal person who knows I'm working an entertainment company, I'm thinking, did we do an entertaining show with funny, entertaining moments? So I loved the show. I thought it had kind of more, I don't know. I mean, I just thought it had a little bit more flavor to it. And not to mention, I got to sing this, which I found a lot of fun. And what a rendition I did, I thought.
Yeah, people were talking about that.
Then what did they say?
People are talking.
They were impressed by this?
They had some stuff to say. Yeah.
I read the lyrics. Go up and don't push them all out the way. No, what she says is, it's had a dream eye.
Hadn't made it.
Hadn't made it. Did you look up the lyrics or you knew that?
No, that's the only part I know, though. And push them all out the way.
Let's hear it. Had a dream eye, hadn't made it.
Yes, had not made
had
it.
Had not made it. And there's something dragging on me, yeah.
Now there's nothing dragging down
me. Now there's nothing dragging down me, yeah.
Yeah.
Because a girl gonna push it all out the way, yeah.
Yes.
I had a break in and a way in. Now I know nobody gonna take it. I'm making these up by this point, by the way. Cause the girl gonna push it out of the way. Hold on. I had a dream that I made it here in the spotlight. Woke up and see myself in the shade. Not quite. Those are the lyrics to...
Who is the rapper, by the way?
I don't know who they have rapping on that. You know what I've been listening to a little bit more, by the way, recently, is Charlotte's theme as well. I like Charlotte's theme more than one might think.
Yeah?
We have a lot to get to when it comes to Charlotte and the world of professional wrestling. That's what we talk about here on Cheap Heat. We've missed you very, very much. Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg. Those are our Twitter handles. Really quick... We have to give, I mean, there's only one way to welcome this human being to the podcast and to life. And that would be a huge, huge and special congratulations going out to Brian Danielson and Bree Bella on the birth of Birdie Joe Danielson to the world.
Birdie Joe Danielson.
Birdie Joe.
I think you mean Birdie Bella Bryant.
That's right, Birdie Bella Bryant. Yes. So congratulations. They finally had the baby. I know they're super duper happy and excited. All is well. Braun Strowman injury. Tell us a little bit about the Braun Strowman injury there, SGG.
Yeah, he suffered an elbow injury at some point. And which explains the beatdown from Roman Reigns on Raw is going to write him off TV for a couple of weeks. He's supposed to be out for 4 to 8 weeks with an elbow injury, and that's all I have right now.
4 to 8 weeks.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about how stiff Braun and Roman were working outside the ring on Monday night. Did you notice how stiff they were working?
But that's what the people want, though.
I know. But, like, damn. And is that when the injury actually happened?
No. He was already injured before that.
Because I think it was Braun kicked Roman. Roman was running towards Braun. Yeah. And Braun kicked him in the chest, bro.
He was going down for a spear and caught a boot to the chest that looked amazing.
And then, I know why it looked amazing, because it was just a big boot to the chest, for real. And then, immediately afterwards, when Roman started punching Braun, he was just punching the hell out of him. Like, those guys were working really stiff on Monday. So we have not done the show, I guess, since Payback?
Yes, we did. The last thing we did was a Payback preview.
And we didn't get to recap Payback, which I got to tell you, House of Horrors aside, I really enjoyed that pay-per-view.
Same.
I thought it was, like, really strong, and it was interesting because people hated the Raw afterwards. So it got a little bit buried. But I thought that the actual pay-per-view itself, which included the Sheamus and Cesaro turn, Alexa Bliss winning the women's championship.
Making history,
Alexa Bliss being the first time SmackDown women's champion. I assume that's what you're referring to.
Yes.
Jericho and KO. So what did you enjoy about Payback the most? What was your highlight? Roman and Braun
Jericho
tore it down.
Jericho and KO was my highlight, to be honest. I like the story they told, and I love the play, the callback to that Festival of Friendship and WrestleMania too, where Kevin Owens is breaking up the submission with just the tip of his finger, and I love that Chris Jericho smashed his finger, and that was the reason that he had to eventually tap out.
So you like the detail, the attention to detail of the story.
Then. Yes. Because it's a real story. Like, it encapsulated basically their whole feud instead of, you know, a thrown together match that might try to tell a story in the match, where most matches fail at that.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun story as well. What did you think of the House of Horrors SGG?
I was confused. Like, when they actually started to battle in the house, I thought that part of it, you know, was entertaining. But still, like, logistically, a lot of things didn't make sense to me. Like why would Randy Orton show up to the House of Horrors in a limousine or whatever that was? That made no sense. And then
it's a good point. It's a good question.
The House of Horrors wasn't really horrifying. It was just kind of dirty and messy.
Well, so dimly lit as well.
Yeah, I want to talk about this. Who lived in that house? Who? There were dirty dishes in the sink. I don't know if anybody noticed that.
Someone was there eating.
Bray.
Oh, you think it was Bray's house?
I think it was Bray.
Are you finding it hard to concentrate?
Yes. But, need to give it up. But no, seriously, though, that match was...
Give us your serious take.
It was confusing. Why was it dark at 6:30 in San Jose?
Very good question. That's a very good point.
And I don't know. The fact that it had to end up in the ring, all of it. It was just disjointed. It was messy. But it is what it is. And hopefully first and last House of Horrors match.
You're saying it right now. You're ready for it to be the end.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be very surprising. I have audio of what Stat Guy Greg actually said out loud upon seeing the match. You ready?
You're hurting me.
That was immediately after the match. Similarly, by the way, this is very similar. Listen to the closeness of the audio here. I also have audio of Braun Strowman immediately after his injury. And listen close. Tell me if you sound similar.
You're hurting me.
Wow, eerie, very eerie, the similarities.
Isn't it?
It's almost identical.
All right, so I'll tell you this. It was a solid pay-per-view. It wasn't changing wrestling as we know it, but it was a nice, solid pay-per-view. I think it's interesting. Sheamus and Cesaro turn on the Hardy Boys. It's always funny when someone turns on someone when they're already in the middle of having matches with them. You know what right. I mean? Like, they just turned, but they were still the same people. But I'll tell you this. I much prefer this weird look for Cesaro and Sheamus than Cesaro's suit gimmick, which I was not into at all.
I like those jackets, though. And I feel
jackets
like,
are clean.
I like those jackets. I feel like with the suits, though, they both have to be on the same page. And I think that's what I like about the jackets is that, and the kilts, too, is that they look like a team. Now they just need, like, one team theme music, and then I'll be fully in.
Oh, you're tired of them changing.
Yeah,
song,
like,
yeah.
I think it was Edge and Randy Orton that started that whole mess with the hybrid themes and like fading back and forth from one into the other. And I think they did it well, but I don't like it. Jericho did it. Breezango,
the hybrid themes?
Yeah, Breezango does it right now. Like, I don't like it.
Is that, they started with Jericho, I think. Wasn't it like, well, it's the break the walls down? It's like too much.
Yeah, it's
you know what they should
awful.
Go with instead? Scrap both theme songs and hit this.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool. Yeah.
Shoulder shimmy, everyone. It's Friday. It's a Friday. Maybe you're sipping on a little beverage, adult beverage this afternoon.
Nothing beats being cool.
Nothing beats it like
makes me want to have some delicious Latin food.
Some delicious chicken.
I spit in the
we
face
know how you feel about that.
People who don't want to be cool.
I forgot about this part of the song.
What do you mean?
Where they just keep saying his name over and over.
It just keeps going. You know, I like when I just type random things in my phone because the most random songs come up. Like we mentioned Chicken, so I search for your drop, which isn't here. We're not using our normal machine, but I saw this instead. I have a question. Would it be seen as super racist if this became your theme song?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. But I mean, it wouldn't fit though, because I just.
But imagine how people would pop when they first hear that. All right, all right, all right. Listen, hold on.
Chicken,
if everyone's like in areas, ladies and gentlemen, who's coming out? What's happening here? I can't see who that is. There he is. Stat guy Greg comes out. Here he is. He's looking very serious. He's wearing his sweater vest, his tie, coming straight from the courtroom. We know there's a few things this man loves: winning cases and eating chicken. And he's all out of cases.
Chicken.
Now, there's also a song called "That Chicken" by Dime a Dozen, which I'm a big fan of this song.
You already know what I'm here for. What you mean you don't got that?
It's a really good song. It's also about chicken. Nah, but, you know, chicken, Greg, chicken means money.
Yes.
So,
yo, Dom,
well, how many of our listeners have no idea, have never heard the term chicken for money?
Oh, my God. I think there's like 92% of our listeners did not know that chicken is slang for money.
Right?
I feel confident saying that.
Oh, no, this is Greg's theme. Because this is Harlem.
Let it rain.
What is that?
Okay. Oh, he's going.
Let's get it.
Guys, in case you're wondering, these are all chicken-related songs.
Yes. Real songs.
All right. Also, good news for everyone. Because we have a lot, like I said, a lot of cover today. So we're going to bounce around. Next week, I am doing Backlash kickoff show. And I'm also doing NXT TakeOver kickoff show.
Woo!
Saturday and Sunday, Rosenberg action. So a full weekend in Chicago with your boy.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what that means? I have to watch NXT.
Oh.
Which I've been doing.
Oh,
been
I hope. Who do you like from NXT right now?
I like Nikki Cross. I've kind of started liking her over the last 6 months or so. I just think she's... I enjoy the gimmick, how OD crazy she is.
Right.
While on the low, she's kind of attractive in a bizarre, dirty character way. Oh, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
There's something there for me. I'm excited to see what Hideo Itami can do now that he's back in a big spot with Bobby Roode.
Well, he said on Twitter that he is going to hit the go to sleep in Chicago.
Ooh.
That's the perfect place for him to reclaim.
Ooh,
his
do you think he'll get? You think he'll get? But now he claims that's a reclaim.
Yes.
That is a reclaim.
It is.
It's Hideo Itami's move.
It is.
So do you think he'll get booed in Chicago doing that?
I don't know, but I would love to. I want to see it, though.
I'm excited. Will you be tuning in next week?
Of course.
NXT TakeOver.
Absolutely.
And the kickoff show.
Of course.
What a good
100%.
Move. My God. You know what I'll play? Y'all be sitting there, and I'll say, if I could just hear this one time, please, through the speakers here in Chicago. Here he is, weighing in these days at around 200 pounds, SGG. Comes out with a, you know, because you can't have a tennis racket. That's obviously been done.
I can't even do the tearaway suit now.
No, look at your bag, though. I'm going to take a picture and post a picture. Rosenberg Radio on Instagram. I'm posting a picture of Greg today so everyone can see what his gimmick would be. The old school brief. Legal document bag. What do you call that?
It's a briefcase.
Yeah. But it's like the leathery old school.
It's a classic.
Yo, that's classy. That's tight, man. You're a real lawyer.
Thank you.
I really love that.
I try to be at least three times a week.
So, The Rock in GQ magazine.
Yes.
A lot of chatter about this. How serious do you take the conversation of Rocky running for president?
Oh, man. You never know. You know why? Because these days, it's a popularity contest now. And what celebrity doesn't love a good popularity contest? Arnold Schwarzenegger ran for governor. Jesse the Body ran for governor as well.
It doesn't
So there's precedent on two fronts for him to enter into politics.
Excuse me. You're skipping one.
Donald Trump?
You said Donald Trump?
No, I did not say Donald
Trump. All right, because that's a pretty big one, too. Because, I mean, more than anything, as much as Trump was a businessman, Trump doesn't become president without the reality show.
Yeah, not at all.
The TV shows are what ultimately set him up to be president.
Not at all. And but that's this is the other thing, too, though. Like, these people, these celebrities.
Whoa. What do you mean, these people?
I mean celebrities.
Okay, just making sure.
They're not really vetted. You know what I mean? Like, we always see.
You don't remember? I thought you were going here for a second.
These blacks. Who knows where they're going to take the wrong way? These blacks.
By the way, that's an old drop. Sopranos. That was Tony Soprano's mother. I think they said that her like maid was offended by something. Yeah. Tony's like, Ma, you offended the maid. Blah 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 blah. And her response was,
these blacks. Who knows where they're going to take the wrong way.
Well, I get in trouble if we play that when you have like a hot take about WWE.
I don't know. You might.
We're really rubbing up against the line today. Sorry. Continue. You're saying these people, meaning?
Yeah, you don't know which way. Like, they could go wherever the wind blows. Because, like I said, it's a popularity contest for them, and we don't really like. They survive in that world by not taking a stand on anything or taking a firm stand on like the safest issues. You don't want somebody like that in politics. Not only that, but they're surrounded by yes men. Like, they don't know how to negotiate and compromise in a way, like in a political way. You know what I mean?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I would certainly trust The Rock more than some other people involved in politics. Won't say who.
But we feel that way because of how we feel about The Rock as a celebrity, though.
And a character, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know his ideas. I don't know his values. I mean, he seems
He spoke at the Republican convention in, what, 2004, I think?
Yes.
Right? I'm pretty sure he did. And by the way, so people don't think I don't have...
I think it was 2000 as well.
That, man, 2000 when he was brand new?
He wasn't brand new in 2000. He was already champion. No,
but still, he was 2 years famous.
But I think WWE had a presence at the convention because 2004 he was out of the company, and I'm pretty sure I remember like.
You're right. Here it is, audio. God, you're good. Yeah, you know, you're generally you have nothing to contribute.
Thank you.
But
I'll take the nice part of that. I'll take the compliment.
Every
out of that.
Blue moon, you just deliver. It was a pre-convention interview.
Thanks very much. We're going to go back to the floor just briefly. Steve Scully has one of tonight's speakers.
And Susan, actually, Jack Ford of NBC News just took him. But I've got to tell you, I have no idea who this person was, but there's a swarm of people around The Rock. And he's being interviewed right now. I'm not
Amazing.
Sure what kind of a shot we can get, but once he's done with NBC, we'll turn him around and find out what all the excitement is about. He apparently is going to be one of the speakers here tonight. Looks like
YouTube's amazing, by the way.
Who's the person that was speaking just now?
Well, some political person.
He's the type of person that I hate, though. Like,
who says that?
He just like, oh, we don't know who he is, but everybody wants to talk to him, so I want to talk to him.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Like, I don't have a problem with you not knowing who he is in 2000, but then why are you desperately waiting to talk to him?
He said, we're going to see what all the hubbub is about. It's like, none of your damn business.
Hold on, now I got to hear
more
of
this. Everything is not for you.
This is amazing, by the way. Isn't YouTube incredible, though, that you can find these? Like, you just type in The Rock Convention, it comes up, and now all the people enjoying this random cheap heat that we're having, a real cheap heat for the ages, in my opinion. Let's sit back in. Let's throw it back down to the floor. Go back, time machine, 17 years, 2000. I can't believe it was 17 years ago.
Long time ago. Yeah.
There's Rocky Maivia.
We'll just watch for a moment, Susan.
We don't portray murder. We don't portray rape or robbery or anything like that. And we're certainly tame compared to what you could see on other network television shows and other cable television shows. As far as for Mr. Bozell's comments, regarding that someone in the Republican Party must be on drugs for inviting The Rock. Well, if freedom of expression is a drug, then I should certainly suggest Mr. Bozell should try a little bit of it.
Bottom line here, what's your message supposed to be?
The message is supposed to be, once again, not necessarily trying to influence the people in middle America who we represent and, 22 million viewers out there every single week who we can reach out and
and touch and influence isn't necessarily, well, vote for the Democratic candidate or the Republican candidate, as much as it is just get out there and exercise your right to vote, get out there and register to vote. And, you know, in the voting booth, whether you're the billionaire or whether you're the garbage man, you're equal and your vote does count.
Anyway, it's a pleasure seeing you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining
us. One sexy man to the other.
It's always been ridiculous. Yeah. Here we go. This is interesting.
So,
hold on. This guy's this douche is getting his way now.
I think you probably ought to be careful there.
Now let's see.
Is this the first time you've been to one of these?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the first time I've ever been to a Republican convention, to a political convention for that matter. To be completely honest with you, I was invited. Very honored to be here. It's fantastic. It's great for The Rock, for the WWF, and for the Republican convention as well. So I look forward to it. And once again, here representing the people to say get out there and register to vote.
Where are you from?
Miami.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
He was thinking about whether to say something obnoxious when he said, where are you from? And now let's see if they have the... Here's the speech.
Champion. Wrestling Federation champion to speak at the Republican National Convention? Well, The Rock says this. What's the matter with you people? If The Rock didn't know any better, he'd say you might be trying to reach out to all The Rock's fans, the 14 million eligible voters who watch The Rock every single week. Well, if that's the case, then The Rock has two words for you.
Glasses off. Mic down.
Thank you. Thank you on behalf of all our fans across America. And thank you for recognizing the passion and the potential power of those fans who will no doubt help elect the next president of the United States.
It's interesting, though. People are really starting to run with this story a little bit. And you can see that we're doing the exact same thing
right.
that we did for Trump, which is like people get very excited about a celebrity. Here. Now, this is for this week. Oh, no, July 14th, 2016. He spoke about the same thing on Nightline.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have smelled what The Rock is cooking.
I'm starting to buy into this thing that you know what you're doing.
His signature dish, pancakes, with one special ingredient.
But pancakes. Later.
I need you to clock me.
When Chef Dwayne The Rock Johnson isn't flipping flapjacks, he's flexing his acting muscle.
All right, Michael Strahan, I love you. I know we work for the same company, but I'm going to have you go ahead and not read those things anymore. Anyways, so will The Rock run for president one day? Listen, it would not shock me if he got involved in politics. Although it just seems like he's always so motivated more by making money, hustling. But it is a hustle, and he loves
to
hustle and win.
Which there is not a lot of money in being president.
But will he need any more money by that point? Because at that point, don't you want a new challenge? Like, at this point, he's worth so much money.
I respect anybody trying to, like, take on a new challenge and evolve and grow in their life. But I you don't need to challenge yourself with my life and the life of 300 million other people.
Right, like just to be a challenge.
Yeah, just to feel good about yourself. I mean, you know.
He's worth between, it sounds like The Rock's worth between about $150 and $200 million.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
In the pantheons of like rich people.
Well, like who? Like in what realm, though?
So, like, all right, you had your fictional rich people, right? Like Scrooge McDuck. I don't even know how much.
Well,
he's
that's
worth.
That's kind of irrelevant here.
But then, like Jay-Z and Diddy are worth what, like $800 million range?
Sure, but they're not just entertainers, right? Like Rocky's an entertainer. I mean,
that's his fault that he's just an entertainer. Then, if you're going to say that, because they could just be entertainers too, but they branched out into other businesses. And The Rock owns a production company. He makes movies and TV shows.
Yeah, he makes some stuff, but I mean, you're comparing him to the two of the richest people in entertainment,
right?
Why don't we compare him to another actor of his ilk, of which there aren't many? Who would you say is of The Rock's ilk in terms of film?
That's hard to say, though, because The Rock Like, he just jumped on one of the biggest I guess you could say it is one of the biggest franchises. Like, the Fast 8 franchise, he jumped on that and made a lot of money on that. What does he pull down per movie? Is it
what's Jason Statham's net worth? And The Rock's obviously.
Yeah, but Jason Statham's not a fair comparison, though. You gotta bring in somebody else who's like at the helm of a big film franchise. So to say Jason Statham is not really.
I'm just trying to think of like a good looking action stars, which is mostly what The Rock is. Jason Statham's worth about, it says net worth. And these are always wrong, by the way, but we can gauge they'll both be wrong.
Right.
$50 million.
But to just diminish The Rock to a good looking action star, too, I don't think does him justice. I feel like.
How do you want to label The Rock, who I love?
He is a good looking action star, but I mean, come on. You just took him out of the conversation for entertainer businessman, right? So you lowered the bar.
No, he is a businessman, but you compared him to Jay-Z and Diddy, who are worth almost $1 billion.
Right.
Jay-Z owns Rock Nation, which is a massive company that does all kinds of things. You can blame The Rock and be like, oh, well, he does. The Rock has had, first of all, multiple lives. You know, he went from wrestler, transitioned to actor, then became a star actor. So I'm not knocking him for the fact that he hasn't done a ton more in the world of his company. But I'm saying, when you think of The Rock is an actor. But Jay-Z is literally almost split between businessman and entertainer at this point, in my mind.
Yeah.
And when I think of Jay-Z, he is completely split.
Although Rock, I do is think not Jay-Z has split. A new album coming out. But that's
he does.
Yeah.
His album's done. I think it's done.
Yeah. Drop it already, Jay.
But I'm saying you compare him to the Tom Cruise.
That feels more fair.
Okay,
even like a Robert Downey Jr.
And I'm sure. Oh no, he's way bigger than Robert Downey Jr. Even though I love Robert Downey Jr. Tom Cruise's made up net worth, which is also wrong, is in the range of $470 million. Okay. Keep in mind, Tom Cruise has been active and famous as an actor 15, 20 years longer than The Rock. So The Rock's probably on pace to He's in his early 40s.
Okay, so let's.
In his mid 50s, Rock will have $340 million.
So, how do we do this then? Do we choose somebody in his age who's also in a similar position then?
Is from a comparison standpoint?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, at this point, we'll be getting tweets galore, I'm sure, from people saying what they think the appropriate comparison is. I think The Rock's in a very unique space because he has become the guy.
But, you know, but at the same time, though, like I said, $200 million doesn't sound like a lot for me because it's The Rock, yo. Like, I imagine him just swimming in money. And
you
could with $200 million, I'm just saying.
I mean, like, you could really swim in money. I mean, like, sometimes I also think we get into this place of, like, what people's standard for having a lot of money is becomes borderline outrageous. $200 million, unless you go around just buying property, and I don't mean property that's, like, million-dollar property. I mean, buying ridiculous Donald Trump-style, like, $50 million stupid properties.
Right.
You'll never spend the money. Like, that's $200 million true. Will last you... Like, it will last you forever. And your kids, yeah. Forever.
I'm pretty shocked it stretched $12 million.
Yeah, I think... if you got your net worth up to $10 million...
Yeah.
I think you'd live a pretty lavish life for the rest of your life.
Yep.
And that's if you weren't making any more money. The Rock's offers aren't going anywhere.
Nope.
Anyways, we really went into a deep Rock conversation, but it makes sense because that GQ article was a big deal and was out. And if you've never seen my brief moments with The Rock, of which there are two that exist on YouTube, there's a video one, and they both are on YouTube. And one is audio, but it's on YouTube as well.
The video one is, that's the one like right after the WrestleMania in New York, right?
The video one was...
I think it was in Miami somewhere?
Was before New York, right? And then a few months later, right? And that one's... I mean, it's quick. The first one in person is... I literally ask him about Miami hip-hop. We don't really talk about anything. It's 2 minutes long. The other one is 6.5 minutes long.
That feels like the wrong question for The Rock, too. Miami hip-hop?
Right. I don't know why I went there. It was hot. He saw Hot 97. I started going into that. And then the second one was WrestleMania 29, The Rock's last. Guess we got an answer on that. And I talked to him about if, in fact, he like left WrestleMania 29 in a huff, like angry. So there's that conversation. But I still have not given up hope on eventually doing the real sit down with The Rock. Like, I really want to have the real wrestling conversation with The Rock.
I think it can happen.
I think it can too. I'm not giving up on that. Okay. And Billy Corgan purchased the NWA, which is amazing. What does it mean, Greg? What does that mean?
I think it means that he was so hell-bent on owning a wrestling company that he was willing to throw his money in the trash.
I mean, what does it mean to be able to own the NWA at this point?
Like, I have no idea, because WWE owns the best of their tape library.
A lot of it, yeah. Right? They have
all the classic stuff. Like, you know, the history is all under the WWE umbrella. So whatever he has is going forward from what, like 92 maybe? And then what happened in the NWA that we care about in the 90s, the 2000s?
Right. Now, I mean, it gives you the option to... here's what I think
I guess does. Maybe he has a little bit of early TNA, NWA TNA. I don't even know how that would work, though.
But what I think it does is I think it gives him the option to start a promotion at some point and do it with the NWA title. That's, I think, the only exciting thing about this.
But why do we care about the NWA title?
Well, I mean, come on. If you had the right people there to start a promotion, you could resurrect. It's a title with, you know, arguably the most amazing history of any title.
Right, but who owns that lineage, though? They can't just, what, they're going to connect it back to a championship that is under the WWE banner?
You mean because it's now connected to the World Heavyweight Championship?
Yes. So he has a name that he has to start from scratch.
Yeah, that part's confusing.
Yeah.
It's not starting from scratch. No, that's unfair, I think. It's still the NWA title. It's still...
name only, though.
Like, no, I know. I mean, no,
I
no,
can
no,
name
no.
my child Barack Obama. That means
you could argue it's the exact opposite, though. You could argue that in name only is the WWE version, not his version. His version is the one that stayed with the NWA, with the National Wrestling Alliance.
No, like the physical championship is the one that stayed with the NWA. And not really, though, because they...
No, their championship continued. It didn't go away after. It's the other way around. WWE was just like, no, this is where we're continuing this title from. But the NWA still existed as an organization. That's your own personal choice. But you can't say starting from scratch.
It barely existed as an organization. Like, WWE broke away from it way early. Then WCW did the same thing. And then like 3 or 4 years after that, ECW did the same thing. And then they've been on life support ever since. I'm sorry, Shane Douglas was right. That company is dead. He bought a corpse. And, you know, maybe I'll be eating my words in 5, 10, 15 years.
I mean, considering you're the guy who put Harley Race in your top 10, you wouldn't think that you would literally go, no, nothing. It's worth literally zero. I have Harley Race in my top 10, but the NWA title is worth literally zero.
No. Not that the NWA title is worth literally zero. The title that Billy Corgan owns is worth literally zero. The history and the NWA title and all that stuff that went into... that got folded into the conglomerate, the WWE, that is where the prestige is. Billy Corgan didn't get any of that. He bought a name. But he's going to have to rebuild the name. I don't think he can do it.
You're arguing semantics, though. You're saying he just bought a name. No, he bought the actual thing. Now, the lineage changed at some point. But you keep saying he didn't buy the thing. He did buy the thing. You're just saying the thing is now currently dead. And my only point is, yes, it was probably pointless. And I mostly laughed at him doing it. However, if you started a new promotion, would there be more value in my mind to being like, it's actually going to be for what is the original NWA title versus our new made-up U.S. country championship? Yeah, I think the NWA title holds more value than that. I think you could, with the right people, make the title mean something. I do believe that. You can't, to me, eliminate it doesn't exist anymore simply because WWE has the tape library.
They have the tape library. They have the championships, they have the history, they have, like, they started doing legacy Hall of Famers, like, they're folding their guys into their own Hall of, like, they've, WWE is taking...
I'm not going to have an argument about whether or not WWE is more important than what is left of the NWA. I'm simply stating that I believe the NWA How much? We know how much you paid for it?
No, I don't. I just saw the headline and I was just like, this is ridiculous.
And I mean, if you paid $100,000 for it, that's crazy. You know, that's a lot of money for something that doesn't really exist. If you paid $5,000 for it, I would be like, you know what? That's probably worth holding on to. Because honestly, if you were going to start any promotion just for fun and you're like, yo, it's for the actual legitimate NWA title, I think there is value there. I'm not saying you're wrong about the fact that it's nothing compared to WWE, but to say that having the actual NWA doesn't mean anything at all, no, of course, to me as a super fan, there is something there. And I get it. I mean, it was the most fan thing you could ever do is go buy the NWA.
Right.
So I give credit for being that big a fan. All right.
I guess you said it right, though. He bought what's left of the NWA, and I don't know what's left. It could be bones. It could be a little bit better than what I'm saying it is, you know, but we'll see what he does with it.
All right. Greg, you want to get to some questions from the people?
Ask Cheap Heat.
That's right. Ask Cheap Heat. Do you think Harper and Rowan should tag up again? Oh, this is from 2 days ago. Oh, so it was after. Should tag up again and take over the tag team division? Hashtag Ask Cheap Heat. I don't know if I see them being capable of taking over the tag team division.
Same. I don't think I see them as taking over, but I do think there is room for them in the SmackDown Live tag team division.
They need another piece, though, to be impactful. They need a mouthpiece. There needs to be something else more for Harper and Rowan, I think, to really make an impact. I've always felt that way. Who do you guys want to see John Cena feud with on SmackDown Live when he returns this summer? Well, let's start thinking about who's realistic. They're not going back to AJ again. Nope. That ship has sailed.
Would they go back to Kevin Owens again?
That's an option. Not one I'd necessarily be excited about.
Same, because it's been done. But it was a money feud.
I mean, obviously, the elephant in the room would be Shinsuke Nakamura, of course, and what that could mean.
Right. But they can't do that without something at stake. And I don't want to see John Cena with the championship.
Why would something have to be at stake if John Cena came back, cut a big promo, blah, 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 and then he comes back and Shinsuke interrupts him or blindsides him?
And that's why right there. Because Shinsuke, like one of them being the bad guy, it shouldn't be done. They could, but it shouldn't be done. And so the only way you get around having two good guys or two bad guys competing, period, is you put a championship in between them. And then you can respect that because they can go about it in an honorable way and both stay true to their good guy selves and still compete against each other. But without anything in the way, then one of them has to go a little bit bad, and then they need one.
I just don't know if I see that being completely true. I hear what you're saying, and it's definitely the safest way to go. But there is, if John Cena comes back and says, I want to get to call out whoever I want, at this point in my career, I feel like, you know, when I'm here, I want it to be meaningful. And I want to have matches with people I think are great and meaningful. And to me, the greatest and most meaningful guy with this company now is Shinsuke Nakamura. They could still do the same thing as if you're having a title, like a respectful. Now, listen, if you have a title or not, people are going to split on them. That's what would happen. But who else is out there besides them that you'd realistically consider for Cena coming back? Randy again?
Nope.
I would hope not. There's not a ton of options on SmackDown for people who... Baron Corbin?
Baron Corbin, yeah.
Not yet.
I don't want to.
He ain't there yet. So, good question. We'll see. Mora Pug, MVP's Raw run or Mordecai?
Oh, Mordecai, hands down.
Now, the Raw run for MVP was Rapug, and it's ridiculous. How long was it?
I don't even remember. I don't even remember his Raw run. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, sorry, that wasn't what you just said. Was not it? You just literally said, that was just a drop. What just happened? That was the moment when Stat Guy Greg literally went inside of himself and was not using words. Hey, by the way, I don't want people to think that I have movie clips that are only offensive to black people. I have this one on my computer as well.
Is that all you Jews ever think about?
That's right. Thank you. The answer is yes.
That settles that.
That settles that completely. So, yeah, MVP's run was quick, way too quick. It really bothered me how short it was. But, I mean, that was the beginning of the end, guys. When Kennedy and MVP almost happened at the same time. They were both scorching hot on SmackDown, and both went to Raw to die. It was very weird.
AJ Styles said it the other day.
SmackDown makes them, Raw takes them. And it really, in the case of Kennedy, I'm shocked that that was it for Kennedy. I mean, MVP, of course, everyone knows I feel that way, and I'm biased and close with him, but Kennedy too.
Yeah, I was all in on Mr. Kennedy. I was ready for him to be revealed as
Vince's son.
Yeah, and then Hornswoggle. Why did they just put it on pause? Or just like, there were so many other options than the Hornswoggle.
Someone says, Matt Clark says, when will we stop hearing Carlito's theme?
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
When it stops feeling good.
Yeah. You know what the cool is? You're looking at. Nothing beats being cool.
I mean, you guys could tell me if you don't feel good. I literally have struggled. I struggle to stop it every time.
Yeah, but you can't.
You know what? Matter of fact, just a suggestion I have to respond to with this.
You're hurting me.
I'll tell you this. The official answer, my official answer is we'll stop playing it when it...
Carlito's back.
When it becomes uncool. And that's never going to happen.
Great answer from SGG. Is James Ellsworth... this is from Kendrick Jamar. Is James Ellsworth basically in the women's division now? Is he Harvey Whippleman at Jays? You know Harvey Whippleman's still with the company.
Is he still?
See him all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's back there. He's around. Yes, that is a great way of describing Ellsworth. How long... I've really enjoyed the fact that Ellsworth has had a job. How long, if he stays in this sort of role, does Ellsworth possibly hold on for? Shocked it's last... Are you shocked it's last this long?
Yeah, I thought he was done after Mania. I figured they would... You know, find something to do with him at Mania, put him in a nice spot, and then, you know, slowly fade him away. But he's not going anywhere.
So, I hope he stays employed, but I just can't. It's just hard for me to picture this lasting much longer. Like, it's such a tough role for him, although I do crack up at how he dresses with Carmella, but.
Right. But that's the thing, though. Like, as soon as they're going to find something else for him, he came in as the jobber. And then he was the punching bag. Then he was Dean Ambrose's best friend who, you know, was protected. And now he's Carmella's friend who is a boy. And they're going to find something else for him.
That's nice. That's really nice that they do it. How repug is the welcoming committee?
As a name? The name is... I like the group. I like that they acknowledged that they were all second-generation women's wrestlers, or multi-generation women's wrestlers, I should say.
You mean including Carmella, even though she's daughter of a Joubert?
Yeah, they did. They included her in on Talk and Smack. They were together, and they all mentioned that they come from...
So you think it gives them some meaning in spite of the fact that they're kind of a randomly thrown together group?
I do. I do think it does. It does give them some meaning. And I think... that it also would explain their ire towards Charlotte because they can make the same claims that she can make, but she walks around thinking that she's better than them.
But she is.
Well, come on.
Sorry, I'm breaking story here. Sorry, you're right.
But, I mean, she is, but.
I mean, she's the queen.
But it gives them reason to, hate her.
Ask G. Pete from Tori DeBoss. What is your favorite Cheap Heat episode? I think I still... I don't know if it'll ever surpass... the live show moment, the return of Maker of Shoes was so iconic in podcast lore. It was so great to me. In terms of favorite episodes, I've loved a lot of episodes. I loved the emergency post Hulk Hogan disaster episode.
I did as well.
You know,
Trivia Slam is up there.
Trivia Slam, which, even though it was considered by us to be a disaster, I've recently heard from people they really enjoyed it.
What did Shoemaker was like, we can't release this.
Shoemaker was straight up like, no, this is, how can we release this? This is terrible. And I thought it ended up being really funny. A lot of people have been asking, will there be a SummerSlam?
WWE is absolutely going to do SummerSlam.
Confirmed. It's locked in, actually, already. The date is set, Barclays Center, Raw, SmackDown, everything. Will we be doing one? And I am working on that right now. I am working on it. I obviously would love for you to tweet us at Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg, and tell us, would you, in fact, yet again, buy tickets to come out to Cheap Heat Live? I do think, given my relationship this year with WWE, us getting some current superstars as guests is a possibility. Could we bring back the maker of shoes? Could we bring back TBC, CBS Sports Zone, the Brian Campbell, who I'm so happy for, by the way. He's just crushing it. Are you checking out some of his stuff?
He's got that new podcast, In This Corner. He's writing a lot over there.
He's doing the MMA podcast, doing the boxing podcast, the wrestling podcast. He's just, the Brian Campbell's killing it. This is a maker of stars. That's what Cheap Heat is. It's a maker of stars, and Brian Campbell's now one of them. It's tremendous. I'm really happy for him. So I would love to know if you guys want to do that, because I'm certainly putting in the work to see if it'll happen. Give me your WWE superstar names, persona, and name of your finisher. Hashtag Ask Cheap Heat, hashtag future HOF. Okay. Well, there's a lot to get to here. Number one, at this point, let's be realistic about it. I am a WWE superstar. And my name is Peter Rosenberg. So those are answered, correct? Now I just need a theme, which I'm working on. I really do want to get a theme. Originally I would have said it could have been this, but because of John Cena, I just don't think it's possible because of the sound in this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it would be gimmick infringement at this point, but... it's such a great wrestling theme. Like, Cena should have just made this his theme song.
Yeah.
Now, SGG, do you have a name that you would want to have?
Oh, man.
We know we have your theme song.
I wouldn't be a wrestler. I would be a manager.
Right, of course. Well, a lawyer.
Yes. Well, not exactly a lawyer. Actually, I take that back. You just gave me an idea. I would be a wrestler. I would wear suits and I would come down to the ring and I would pick fights and challenge everybody. And any match that I lost, whether it was clean or under questionable circumstances, I would threaten to have legal representation.
Okay.
And I would contact my lawyers on every loss so that I would come out on every feud winning.
I'm trying to think of another song besides Chickenhead, which speaks to your love of Delicious Bird. What's another good song? Let's see. One that relates to, like, business. Let's see. I'm thinking, guys. I want to get this right. Okay, what about this? Ooh, this is it. There he is, SGG. Strictly Business, that's what they call him. Strictly Business.
That's the finisher.
Try to answer to the master or the MC rap goddess. No joke on the lyric.
That's how to be modest.
I knew I was the man with the master plan to make it wiggle with jiggle.
Like gelatin.
Just think while I sing. And to the brings.
By the way, this is Mage. If your name was Stack Guy, well, hold on. Strictly Business is the finish?
Yeah, Strictly Business is the finish. And I'll take whatever random... random name they throw at me. I don't know what they got. Let's see. So I'm from Harlem, right?
Yeah, Harlem Heat.
No, that one's taken.
Harlem Brown.
Oh, I could be
a mix of Harlem Heat and Bad News Brown.
I could be Booker T's nephew, Malcolm.
Malcolm.
From 116th Street at 125th Street in Harlem, New York. Just a little bit uptown.
What's your last name? T? I mean, that's Malcolm T? That's crazy.
Well, Stevie Ray was just Stevie Ray.
So just Malcolm?
Yeah, just Malcolm. I'm his nephew, Malcolm. From 125th Street in Harlem, New York.
Oh, that's so good.
Just a little bit uptown.
Maybe there's another. Hold on. Let me have another song. And here's your song then. Here he is. Here comes Malcolm. And you bring out a couple of girls with you, too, so it's not an insult to you.
Right.
There's also, of course... James.
But the instrumental, though, not the... No,
right, of course. I'm an A-town player turned uptown pimp. This is a good record called Uptown-ish, Beat Nuts record. Curious. This will be good. Maybe this is more your vibe, I think. Not exactly an intimidating song.
But that's good, though. That's good.
Here it is, though. When it comes in, though, tell me this is your song. When the drum kicks in, this could be Malcolm's theme song. Just stroll. It's just a stroll. There he is. Uptown Malcolm. Is your name Uptown Malcolm?
No, just Malcolm.
You sure?
Just Malcolm, yeah.
Nickname Uptown Malcolm, maybe?
Yeah.
I think I'm more into this still. By the way, what are we even talking about? You already have a theme song. This isn't a conversation. We already played it once this show. So, obviously, your number one theme song would, of course, be... There he is, SGG. By the way, why are both of your songs sexually, like, from a gender standpoint, off? Boy Is Mine and Uptown Girl are both confusing as an intro for you.
I'm the lawyer. You're the DJ. You got to answer that question.
As a lawyer, you should sue me for the me continuing to give you theme songs that really don't work with your gender identity. All right, that was a fun question. Let's keep going. Ask G. Pete. Here we go. If the NWO was formed today, what three active WWE superstars would you pick to start it? Fantastic.
Wow.
That's really good. NWO. Who most embodies NWO?
John Cena, for sure.
Really?
Are we going to go heel, though? Like
whatever you want. It's about who would embody it. Cena look-wise, I just don't know if I see it. But what would he
imagine
wear?
A heel Cena, though. Yeah, I don't know what a heel Cena would wear, though, because he can't.
Like the t-shirt? Could he wear just the... Even in t-shirts, he looks weird. He's so jacked.
Yeah, he can't. He needs to have a whole different look. Heel Cena.
NWO right now.
See, I feel like KO could be the leader of a dominant faction in WWE, but he is not dominant by himself.
And he's not an NWO kind of guy. They're a little slick. There's a little more slickness, I feel like. And less grit, more slickness to an NWO look. Like, I know it's going to sound nuts.
Who are you going to say, Dolph Ziggler?
Oh, Dolph's not bad. I was going to say Finn, actually. I think you can make Finn look a certain way.
Well, here's my thing with that. In my mind, when I heard that question, there were four people who I eliminated from my answer right away, and that was Finn Balor, AJ Styles, Karl Anderson, and Luke Gallows, because, yes, they are the obvious answer to this question.
But remember, we're not saying it's the club. We're saying a redone NWO. So I think
which
I,
is
the club.
Right.
Well, then I think that maybe your answer is that it already exists. Yeah. Who would be the mouthpiece, though? Because AJ's cool, but not the ultimate mouthpiece for it.
Nope.
What about Malcolm? Uptown Malcolm?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Here he is, Booker T's cousin, Malcolm. We've seen him associating in recent months with Finn Balor and AJ Styles. And now a message from Uptown Malcolm. Let's hear what Uptown Malcolm has to say. He's being flanked, of course. He's being flanked by an interesting assortment here. Finn Balor there, Carl Anderson. No Luke Gallows or AJ Styles tonight. And let's take a listen to what Uptown Malcolm has to say.
This is a message for everybody. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, you're officially on notice. We've been teasing this Balor Club for over 2 years.
Slow down, pal.
We're here now. We are here. And it's happening.
Very quick.
I'm a man of few words.
By the way, did you realize there? And when I said slow down, pal, I was joking. But did you realize when you jokingly cut a promo how slow you have to talk to sound anything like what it sounds like to cut a promo in this ring? It's crazy, right?
It is crazy.
You sounded like you were talking a mile a minute. No promo's ever been cut that fast. You can't talk that way.
I did not even notice until you just... You're a pro. Just.
Thank you. I pay attention, pal.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready because I've noticed in the years of getting on stage that in order for your words to have an impact, you have to wait. It's the only way to do it. Podcasts are different. We can go and just get into conversation. Anyways, I'm excited about this question. So we kind of gave a rough answer, and you got a quick promo out of Uptown Malcolm. Sorry, I keep calling you by your nickname. I know it's just Malcolm in WWE,
right,
but in the indies, you were Uptown Malcolm. there might be an Uptown Malcolm sign next week, by the way. Don't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Ever thought about bringing a live show to the UK? Hashtag Ask Cheap Heat. I'll tell you the truth, Lee Hemmings 91. I have no idea what kind of following we have in the UK. So, I mean, I know there's some, but I really just don't know the extent to that it's there.
Well, yeah, I don't know either. But if it's only six people, if all six of you show up, then I guess why not, right?
Yeah, I'd go for six.
Yeah.
No, I would say if I got the number, if we could sell out a small room, I'd consider it. Kathy Martin says, I have so much respect for you and your hustle. Thank you. How do you balance your jobs, wife, dog, cheap heat? Hashtag Ask Cheap Heat.
It's so much more than the dog, wife, house, and cheap heat, by the way.
It's a lot. There's a lot between the shows and stuff. But you take one day at a time. You know, I wake up. I think about my schedule every day. I look at my schedule. Okay, got to be at the radio show around 6 a.m. I'll be done with the radio show around, you know, 11 a.m. You know, I'll be out of there by 11. I'm going to come home and rest. Then I'm going to go to my other show, and then I'm going to come home. That's not that crazy. It's the other days that get a little weird.
So, and like random stuff pops up too, right?
Like today, I had the radio show. We had to do Cheap Heat. At 12:30, I have a Sports Center hit. So I got to go to my other station and do a hit. Then I'm going to go home like 12:45, 1 o'clock, and try to rest for an hour, hour and a half. But at 3 o'clock, I have an event for Sabra Hummus. Tomorrow's National Hummus Day, everyone. I suggest everyone go out and buy some delicious Sabra hummus. So, like, I have that at 3 o'clock. Then I have to go straight to my radio show from there at 3:45. And then tonight I have a dinner. So, like, but it's Friday, so I'll survive. And then when I wake up tomorrow, nothing. By the way, happy birthday, Andrew Goldstein.
Happy birthday
this week. There's a birthday thing for Andrew, a couples kind of thing tomorrow that I'm doing. For Goldstein's birthday. Hope I didn't just blow up a spot, but whatever.
You didn't say where, so.
Yeah, there you go. So, but that's all I have all weekend. Nothing. Now, next weekend, I have the full week, and then Saturday morning, leave at like 6 a.m. to go to Chicago to go do NXT Saturday and
Backlash
on Sunday. That's busy. But I just try to break it down and, you know, make sure I get my time at the end of every day with my wife and slow down a little bit. Slow down. I just got my email right now. I have to show up to the venue next Saturday for takeover at 1 o'clock. That's not too bad. So I'll get into Chicago, maybe take a quick little snoozerooski at the hotel if they let me in. And that's that. Okay. So thank you for that question, by the way, as well. You know, I'm very self-centered, so I enjoy questions about myself. All right. We keep on moving. Will we ever get another Trivia Slam? My favorite episode y'all have ever done. Shoemaker Campbell versus Rosenberg Mystery Partner.
Can you believe I jobbed out to the mystery part?
Well, I think they have you as hosting the show.
Oh, well, I know.
Which is, by the way, a mistake, because Greg's better at trivia and I'm better at hosting. So it probably makes more sense to go a different direction. I'd be interested in doing another one. Yes. I maybe even SummerSlam. What's the fancy word you've been saying a few times the previous 2 to 3 episodes?
What?
Fancy word. Hey, can you think of any? The only new lingo I can think of in the last few episodes is a word everyone understands.
You're hurting me.
Michael K. got mad at me because I've stolen that drop and taken it to Cheap Heat.
Did he really?
And I don't get me wrong. It is from the Michael K. show. And all, by the way, all my listeners who are listeners who enjoy what we do, or more, I guess in this case, what I do, because Greg's not on the other show, please do check out the Michael K. show. You can listen on the ESPN app. You can listen on TuneIn Live. It's on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And you can listen everywhere. And at 6 o'clock every night, I have my own segment that I run called ENN. There's actually just an ENN solo podcast if you just want my segment on it's on iTunes as well. But I do have to say that
you're hurting me
is from the K-Show.
Which you said when you originally
I don't know what fancy
it,
word
we're keeping
it. What did you say?
I said you said that when we originally played it, but
I did. I told them that.
Yeah, but we're keeping it.
So. No, it's ours now. Once the sign gets made, it's over. You saw the sign, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, once there's a You're Hurting Me sign at a wrestling show.
It's ours now.
What's the hot take on the SD women's title not being defended at Backlash? Backlash. Hashtag AskGP. I'm for it because I want Naomi to get some time with the title. So I was happy that if they're going to get away from Charlotte Naomi, which I don't think they should, and I think this is going to lead back to them having a more meaningful interaction, right? My guess is they become friends for a while and then it explodes and it's more meaningful.
Yeah, I like that. I'm with that.
I'm with them not defending it. Let's do this. Let's let this last a little bit. Let's see Naomi with that title on her waist for a little bit so it means something more. Not just for Naomi. It's not just because I love Naomi and want her to have the title. Honestly, I think you learn the more you're closer to it. The title means something, but it really means a lot more for them to do things that are important. And I think it'll be more important. We all know. I've said this many times. As long as Charlotte's around, she will mostly be champion, more than not.
Yep.
But when she eventually wins the title from Naomi, let's make it mean something. Like that's the if you're around with someone as great as Charlotte in a division, I'm putting Charlotte on this level. Everyone's job almost becomes it's you know, your job is to be a star, of course, on your own. But your job is to make your moments with her be meaningful. Because she's gonna deliver every time. That's what happens when you have someone who is the man or woman, like this is Cena. Like don't you think it's safe to say, like, Cena, Charlotte is on her way to that kind of role?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So everyone, and Naomi's not, you know, Naomi's, I think, thrilled right now and having a ball. I don't think she ever foresaw herself being some 10-year champion. She's just a great performer who's kicking ass and having a moment. And I know in her mind, she's probably thinking, when I do this thing with Charlotte, I want it to be awesome. I want it to be, I don't want people to just talk about Sasha and Charlotte. I want people to talk about Naomi and Charlotte. So I don't have a problem. I'm glad they're not defending it. I want to see the story, this new attempt at friendship between Becky, Charlotte, and Naomi play out a little bit.
Yeah, and just to jump onto what you said and piggyback a little bit, you do make an excellent point that if it was defended, it'd probably be defended in like a thrown together type of match that doesn't have the story and the meaning. So let's put the story first. I agree with you.
All right, we got to wrap up here. So let's burn through a couple of quick ones. I know I promised 90 minutes. We're only at 70 minutes, but we'll do more. We'll do an extra long one next week, too. I'll make it up over 2 weeks. All right. Bacon Sex Gelato. Thank you. Any chance, that's the person's name. Any chance when Daniel Bryan's contract is up in a year that he does unsanctioned matches in WWE? I'll just say this very quickly. I don't think Daniel Bryan's wrestled his last match yet. And I know no one seems to believe that, but I don't think he has.
I think he's wrestled his last match in the WWE.
All right. Take that. You can read into that what you will. Smarkmaker says, the Breezango push and skits have been incredible. Will they just drop them after they job out to the Usos? I got to tell you, unfortunately, because I enjoy both, but I prefer the Usos probably. I wouldn't be so sure they job out to the Usos. The build they've been getting, right? Like, they've been getting as much screen time as the Usos. More.
More, yeah.
So,
although I will say this, though. The 12 days promo from SmackDown, I loved that promo.
What, from Breezango?
No, from the Usos.
Wait, from this past week?
Yeah.
What do they do again? Because I was thinking about the Breezango promo where they're behind the scenes doing...
Oh, you're thinking about the Fashion Files, but I'm thinking about...
The Fashion Files, sorry.
The Fashion Files is incredible. It's hilarious.
But what was the 12 Days promo?
Oh, my God. Did you not see after Breezango won their match against the Ascension, the Usos came out, and there was Jimmy and Jay. They were going back and forth on the mic like Jada Kiss and Styles P.
Wow, strong take. Let's see if
I can... It was amazing. I loved it. I loved it.
You know what? I know what they did at the top of the ramp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't actually hear most of it. I'm a bad fan. Hold on.
Probably one of their best.
It was really?
I enjoyed it.
But you, let's be honest, you are super fan of the Usos. So do I. I got to see it myself. Well, although I got to tell you, I'm a pretty big fan of the Usos myself. Was it better than the Ascension hanging out in a closet?
100%.
That actually scared me a little bit. Like, I thought about what I'd be like, what I'd feel like if I was Breezango. And I opened up a random closet door and saw the Ascension in there. When did this happen, this promo?
Right after the match. Breezango, they're both standing at the top rope. And the Usos show up on top of the ramp. And they cut a phenomenal promo.
Real quick, by the way, before we while I look for that, because I want to see it for a second. Shinsuke, oh, here we go. The Shinsuke-Dolph promos have got to end.
They will. There's one more weekend in the Backlash.
I know. They couldn't come soon enough. It's just not enough. I had the conversation on Bring It to the Table, but that was my real feelings. Here we go.
Get 12 days at Backlash. These tag titles could be yours, Oos.
But that ain't going to happen like that, see?
No, but what is going to happen is that at Backlash, in 12 days.
You're getting beat down.
In 12 days.
You're getting knocked down.
In 12 days.
You're getting stomped out.
In 12 days.
You're getting slapped too.
12 days.
You're getting clapped too.
12 days.
You better watch each other's backs.
In 12 days.
Hell, you can tan each other's backs.
In 12 days.
Shave each other's backs.
12 days.
Wax each other's backs.
12 days.
Rub each other's backs.
12 days.
Kiss each other's back.
12 days.
Lick each other's back.
12 days!
Paint each other's backs.
12 days!
In 12 days, you better have your mind right, Breezango.
Hey, they can, Oos, because in 12 days, they about to feel these little hairs standing behind their neck, and they gonna feel these goosebumps running through their body, and their head is on a swivel, because they feel like somebody creeping behind you. No! It's not paranoia. It's the Oh!
All right, you didn't overstate it. Fantastic work from the Usos. Attaboy. Attaway. That's how you do it. That's how you get up there and do it. That was... I enjoyed that. I got to tell you, that was tremendous, Greg. Thank you very much.
12 days.
12 days. All right, 12 seconds. We got to go. Laura Styles is kicking me out of this room. Try to get in 5 more seconds of tweets. Ask G Pete. Here we go. Ch-ch-ch-ch. Who would WWE have to put in the ring against Roman Reigns for him to get cheered right now? Oof, great. That is a strong... Derek McGowan. Fantastic question.
Who do they hate? I don't think there's anyone.
I mean, because they cheer The Miz for sure.
Yep. There is no one.
I don't think there is someone on the roster right now who would get Roman Reigns fully cheered. That should be the challenge. That should be what someone should be thinking about, is how do I become that person? How can I be such a bad guy that people will cheer Roman Reigns? That's the thing that should be on people's minds. It's a fantastic question. How would you book the Rude main roster debut? Bobby Roode, that is. That's from Zach. That's a great question as well. I would probably need to marinate on that for a second to think about how Bobby Roode appears. Because you can't just make... I don't want what they did with Nakamura. I'll tell you, that's what I don't want. It's just showing up and hearing your music play so we can hear Glorious. Because it'll be tempting to do the same thing, because like Nakamura, he has an amazing entrance. So you got to get caught up in not just doing that.
Well, so this is what I would do. I feel like I would do sort of what happened with Kevin Owens. Except that he becomes the champion like he's a double champion at after the end of that feud. So like, let's say somebody has an open challenge and Bobby Roode answers the open challenge as NXT champion, but then he answered the open challenge to remind them that he's also a champion and probably a better wrestler than that person is. And so if they want to face him, they can fight him at the next pay-per-view for that championship. That person's ego is bruised. They accept. And then Bobby Roode goes on to debut on the main roster and win the championship and then goes back to NXT.
With that championship for a minute and then comes up. Good idea from SGG. I was going to say something as simple as, well, you have to wait until there's a champion, you know, someone who feels they're in a place where there's no one for them. Like, and I don't know who that person would be right now. Like, they absolutely have cleaned up. Like, if you have someone like Kevin Owens wreck house on SmackDown for a few months and look around and cut a promo where he says, there's nothing left for me here. I finished Raw. I'm already finished with SmackDown. I don't want John Cena to come back. I've already beaten John Cena. There's no one for me to wrestle. And as he's standing there, then you get the combination of both getting the awesome moment and it having a little bit of meaning while he's saying there's no one for me. This is my house. Glory. And then hopefully we don't just hear this play for 4 weeks straight without a match. Hey, SGG, it's been a pleasure. At Rosenberg Radio, at Stat Guy Greg, we do owe you guys more next week. We'll have a nice Backlash preview and all that stuff. You have any stats for us?
None.
Of course you don't. See you guys next week. Love you. Oh, stay mage.